RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo takes drastic measure to promote ease of business. Vice President and Foreign Minister discuss non-aligned movement summit. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo said in Jakarta on Friday that he would take drastic measure against ministry hindering posts to promote ease of doing business in the country. He pointed out that the country's ease of doing business index is still far below compared with that of the neighboring countries, with Singapore being ranked first, Malaysia 18th, Thailand 49th, while Indonesia is at 109th slot. He made it clear that he did not want to see Indonesia continue to lag even at 60th rank. He reminded that if the government did not show courage to effect changes to achieve the target of improving the ease of doing business, Indonesia would be left further behind from neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam. Vice Governor of West Papua, Irent Manubui, stated that President Joko Widodo has accorded priority to infrastructure development throughout the province of West Papua. He remarked that the central government had taken up priority on the development of the region and improvement of facilities at Saigon Airport, Weror, Tabrau Airport, Marinda Airport, and Fakfak Airport. To implement the CITOL program, the central government has allocated budget to develop a container port in Sorong District. The project is to be implemented by PT Pelindo. In addition, the government will build a railway network connecting six districts, namely Sorong City, Sorong District, South Sorong District, Maibrat District, Bintuni Bay District, South Manokwari District, and Manokwari District. Meanwhile, the government has built micro hydropower plants with a large capacity in Tabrau District. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi met Vice President Yusuf Kalla to discuss preparation for the Non-Aligned Movement Summit to take place in Caracas, Venezuela in September 2016. The head of the Secretary of the Vice President, Muhammad Omar, has said recently that Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi has met Vice President Yusuf Kalla to discuss the main issues and programs related to the summit. Vice President Yusuf Kalla is scheduled to attend the Non-Aligned Movement Summit and the United Nations General Assembly session in New York. Foreign Minister Director General Abi Hassan Kleb remarked that the Non-Aligned Movement Summit would discuss the challenges faced by member states as well as ways of cooperation. Hassan further underlined that the meeting would produce a declaration related to economy and politics. The political declaration is related to the stance of a non-aligned movement on political issues, international security situation, and regional issues. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Command Center or Integrated Service, which is located on the second floor of the ex-Siola building, serves as a national model. This was affirmed by Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Asman Abnur. Visiting the command center more recently, he said that his duties are no longer heavy, as Surabaya has set an example. Other regions can follow suit. Hopefully, the people of other regions can feel the same benefit as Surabaya residents. Surabaya Mayor Tri Risma Hari Ini said the function of the command center is to receive emergency complaints from the public through the call center number 112 and monitor the city's condition through CCTV cameras. She added that the command center is linked to Peru's relevant agencies such as Indonesian Red Cross, PMI, Basarnas or National Search and Rescue Agency, and the police. Indonesian Parliament Special Committee on Revision of Law No. 15-2003 on Eradication of Terrorism Crimes invited the chief of the National Counter-Terrorism Agency BNPT Commissioner General Suhardi Alyus and ex-terrorist Ali Imran to elicit their inputs for the revised piece of legislation. Arsul Sani, a member of the Special Committee, said at the Parliament building in Jakarta recently that the committee listens to and understands aspirations of the Peru segments, gather suggestions and views of the public as well as part of the deliberation related to the bill of terrorism. Today, the committee heard the BNPT and ex-terrorist Ali. The committee listened to Peru stakeholders to understand all aspects and not just views that only loud and blame the police. He explained that the committee takes a static position. If there is a proposal that the police need to be given more authority, then there should also be a provision for supervision. Police Criminal Investigation Agency Bareskrim has detained activated police for individual suspect in Rio this year. Bareskrim Chief Inspector General Aridono Sukmanto said recently that 9 companies are being investigated for alleged involvement in the forest fires. The suspects are facing a jail term of 15 years and a fine of 5 billion rupiah if found guilty. The police general added that last year, 15 plantation and forestry companies in the list of forest fire suspects were released by the police, but the case against the 15 companies was dropped as there was not enough evidence found against them. Some of the companies already ended their contracts before the fire brought out, police said. The last item, Indonesian Chamber of Commerce Kadin has expressed appreciation for the President Joko Widodo's instruction regarding the acceleration of national fishery industry development as the fishery sector is yet to be optimally explored. The Chamber's Deputy Chairman for Fishery and Maritime, Yugi Prayanto, has said in Jakarta more recently that the President Joko Widodo thinks the fishery sector can be explored further and he appreciates his directives. Yugi made a statement following the release of the official presidential instruction or IMPRES No. 7/2016 about the acceleration of national fisheries industry development signed by President Joko Widodo on Monday. The instruction is addressed to 25 officials including the Coordinating Political, Legal and Human Rights Affairs Minister, the Coordinating Economic Minister and the Coordinating Human Development Culture Minister. The President specifically instructed the Maritime and Fishery Minister Susi Pujiastuti to evaluate the policies that hamper the growth of fisheries, aquaculture, processing and marketing in the country, the export of fishery products and national salt ponds. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various significant events that occurred this week are reviewed by some of the leading media in Jakarta and outlined in the press review. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper. In its editorial on Wednesday, August the 24th, the paper writes, "Together, forward faster." Entering the age of 71 years, Indonesia managed to move forward to build a democracy despite a lot of the abundant social and political capital that has not been utilized. Kompas Daily reports since Monday, August the 22nd, a number of indexes that relate to democracy, a country's resilience to external pressure, and the perception of corruption have continued to improve despite the improvements happen slowly. According to Kompas, the better the quality of democracy and increasingly a country is able to withstand external pressure, the nation's competitiveness will also be increasing. So the concern that Indonesia would become a failed state, at least at this time, did not materialize. The improvement showed a strong desire to continually improve itself to make Indonesia in equivalent with affluent countries. and developed countries. According to Compass, on the other hand, efforts to move forward is still overshadowed by many shortcomings. Corruption continues to occur. Interest groups use the power of democracy to achieve its goal while sacrificing the people. If people do not participate in supervising what was once denounced as corruption, collusion, and nepotism, or abbreviated CCN, would be back again to those holding power and will be more evenly because of decentralization of authority to local governments. Towards the 72 years of independence, according to the Daily, all parties need to continue to strengthen the state institutions in order not to be trapped in CCN, not being corrupt and incompetent, so that real democracy can be kept, social justice and prosperity as the nation's ideals materialize. Turning to Media Indonesia newspaper, which in an editorial on Thursday, August the 25th, writes, "The Way to Legal Hajj." Hajj pilgrimage is a worship performed as the fifth pillar of the Islam. However, it has also become big business and very lucrative. According to Media Indonesia, Hajj pilgrimage should become a business fully managed with a clean heart. However, it must be admitted, money apparently not only does not know any nationality, but also is not concerned with matters of faith. Transnational organized crime has allegedly been involved in the illegal Hajj business. A total of 177 Indonesian citizens became victims of an illegal Hajj business. They were detained by the Philippine authorities last week for apparently using fake Philippine passport. The case not only because of the mental weaknesses of the pilgrims, but also the weakness of the system in organizing Hajj in this country. The system is not able to anticipate that demand for Hajj seats in Indonesia. Since last year, the Ministry of Religious Affairs has started enforcing the minimum waiting time for 10 years for those who won't repeat the pilgrimage. However, with still a long waiting list, the Religious Affairs Ministry may consider an even longer time. According to Media Indonesia, no less important is the Ministry of Religious Affairs should proactively and consistently disseminate procedures of legal Hajj pilgrimage to the community. The names of legitimate travel agents should also be announced openly to the public. Supervision of the travel agent has to be tightened more. The travel agents, which are mischievous, smart, but also utilize the psychology of the people that their pilgrimage not only to fulfill the obligation of worship, but also a sort of social pride. But let's conclude press review with Republika newspaper, which in its editorial on Friday, August the 26th, writes, "Protect children from smoking." Today, millions of Indonesian children have become active smokers. Data from the Association of Public Health Indonesia, IAKMI, said from 70 million active smokers in Indonesia, 5.3 million of them are young smokers. The continuously increasing number of children smokers from year to year is very worrying indeed. An institution that campaigns on the danger of cigarettes revealed that every day in Indonesia there are more than 10,000 children start smoking. What is even sadder, more than 30% of children smokers started before the age of 10 years. In fact, the youngest smokers in these countries are of 8 years old. This fact should have been knocking on the awareness of all the elements in this country, especially the government, to help protect children from smoking. Parents should be role models for their children. The school environment should become completely smoke-free area. Teachers should be the example. According to Republika Daily, the application of non-smoking area in the public area also needs to be reinforced because, unfortunately, it is not yet fully effective. Sanctions for those who smoke carelessly in public areas should be enforced consistently. Well, that was press review from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, it started from an event on 27 August 1935 when Baharudin Lopa was born. Baharudin Lopa was born in Pambusuang, Balanipa, Polewali Mandar, South Sulawesi, became an important role model of the meaning of simplicity and honesty. As a civil servant, Baharudin Lopa had shown a different attitude to the authorities in general and made honesty as a commander in carrying out daily tasks of the state. Baharudin Lopa was the Attorney General of the Republic of Indonesia on June 6, 2001 until his death on July 3, 2001. He was also former Indonesian ambassador to Arab Saudi. Between 1993 and 1998, he was a member of National Commission on Human Rights. He received Government Watch Award for his service to eradicate corruption in Indonesia during his lifetime. He was elected as a figure of anti-corruption because he had worked and struggled against injustice by eradicating corruption in Indonesia without despair for over 20 years. The next event was in 1991 when Moldova declared independence. Moldova is a landlocked country in Eastern Europe, border with Romania to the west and Ukraine to the north, east and south. The capital city of Siniasem. Moldova declared independence on August 27, 1991 as part of the dissolution of the Soviet Union. The current constitution of Moldova was adopted in 1995. A strip of Moldova territory on the east bank of the river Dniester has been under de facto control of the breakaway government of Transnistria since 1990. The last event was in 1985 when Muhammadu Buhari was peacefully overthrown by Major General Ibrahim Babangida. Muhammadu Buhari, born 17th of December 1942, is the president of Nigeria. He has been in office since 2015. He is a retired Major General in the Nigerian Army and previously he served as the nation's head of state from 31st December 1983 to 27 August 1985. After taking power in a military coup date, the term Buharian is ascribed to Buhari military government. He unsuccessfully ran for the office of president in 2003, 2007, and 2011 general elections. In December 2014, he emerged as the presidential candidate of the All Progressive Congress for the March 2015 general elections. Buhari won the election, defeating the incumbent president, Goodluck Jonathan. This marked the first time in history of Nigeria that an incumbent president lost to an opposition candidate in a general election. He was sworn in on 29 May 2015. Buhari has stated that he takes responsibility for anything which he presided during his military rule and that he cannot change the past. He had described himself as a converted Democrat. Listener, that was Today in History, presented by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today it is on All Investment Licensing Authority under BKPM. Stay tuned. In a meeting on performance evaluation and development of one-stop services OSS in Jakarta on Monday, August the 22nd, President Joko Widodo said he was happy because this year investment has risen by 17.8%. Nevertheless, the president reminded evaluation of the one-stop services or OSS is still required for the investment to move faster. President Joko Widodo also urged all ministries and agencies which are still serving for licenses to hand over all authority to the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM. This agency should even take over all authority so that investors do not have to get around each ministry to obtain an investment license. President Joko Widodo asserts that the integrated one-stop service not only focuses on licensing for investors, but also should provide fast, accurate, and integrated service. Thus, the rate of investment in Indonesia is not hampered, and investors do not have to wait long. He also stressed the importance of OSS integration both at the central and local levels so that more investment services are well coordinated. The meeting, led by President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla, was attended by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution, Minister of Trade Enggar Tias Tolukita, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti, and Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto and the head of BKPM Thomas Lembong. Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto, after a close meeting with the President, said the ministry has delegated the authority to grant licenses in industry to the BKPM since December 2014, including the issuance of business license and permit on the industrial expansion, publishing a change or replacement of the industrial licenses, and permit for the expansion of the luxury, of the industry. In the limited meeting on the program evaluations, President Joko Widodo also decided on the formation of an investment task force to oversee the investment process at the central and regional level. But according to the Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, there are few issues on one-stop services at the local level which are in the coordination of the Minister of Home Affairs. So it needs more detailed and rigid regulation in order that BKPM can work in the field. That was Focus Today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo said in Jakarta on Friday that he would take drastic measures against ministry hindering imports to promote ease of doing business in the country. He pointed out that the country's ease of doing business index is still far below compared with that of neighboring countries, with Singapore being ranked first, Malaysia 18, Thailand 49th, while Indonesia is at 109th slot. Vice Governor of West Papua, Irene Manibui, stated that President Joko Widodo has accorded priority to infrastructure development throughout the province of West Papua. He remarked that the central government had taken a priority on the development of the region and improvement of facilities at Saigon Airport, Weror Tabrau Airport, Marinda Airport, and Fakfak Airport. Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi met Vice President Yusuf Kalla to discuss preparation for the Non-Aligned Movement Summit to take place in Caracas, Venezuela in September 2016. The head of the Secretary of the Vice President, Muhammad Omar, has said recently that Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi has met Vice President Yusuf Kalla to discuss the main issues and programs related to the summit. The Command Center or Integrated Service, which is located on the second floor of the Ex-Wila building, serves as a national model. This was affirmed by Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Asman Abnur. Visiting the Command Center more recently said that its duties are no longer heavy, as Surabaya set an example. Indonesian Parliament Special Committee on Revising of Law No. 15-2003 on Eradication of Terrorism Crimes invited the chief of the National Counterterrorism Agency BNPT, Commissioner General Suhardi Alius, and ex-terrorist Ali Imran to elicit their inputs for the revised piece of legislation. Police Criminal Investigation Agency Bareskrim has detained activated forest fire individual suspect in Riau this year. Bareskrim Chief Inspector General Aridono Sukmanto said recently that nine companies are being investigated for alleged involvement in the forest fires. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce Kadin has expressed appreciation for President Joko Widodo's instruction regarding the acceleration of national fisheries industry development, as the fishery sector is yet to be optimally explored. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today we are going to introduce you cuisine of Madura through RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Listener, besides being famous with culinary satay, Madura has a unique culinary called Rujak Chorek that can make our tongue dance. This culinary can especially be enjoyed in the afternoon. In Indonesia, this culinary is loved by people in all ages. Rujak is a food that is made from fruits and sometimes from vegetables which are added with seasoning such as tamarind, sugar, and chili. Sometimes it is added with peanuts. The taste depends on where rujak comes from. Listener, in Madura, spicy foods are liked by almost everyone, especially spicy rujak. But such kind of rujak in Madura, it is served uniquely enough, especially in Pamekasan and Sumenep. Its uniqueness is due to the marinade contained in cucumbers. So if you bite the cucumbers, the marinade melts out. Making rujak chorek is simpler than making other rujak. Other rujak generally needs many kinds of fruits and then the fruits are cut, grated or pounded. But rujak chorek just needs to prepare a cucumber and the same rujak seasoning such as tamarind, sugar and chili. Listener, in Madura language, chorek means kerok. Indeed, to make rujak chorek, you only need one cucumber to be peeled and scraped or perforated, or more commonly referred to the chorek at one and only. You can use a knife or spoon handle to make the hole. Then, you just make rujak seasoning. Here, you may use or without it. This is because every area in Madura has specific characteristics of rujak seasoning which is not necessarily the same. There is one area that uses peanuts and does not use peanuts. There adds condiment of the fermented fish and there are some only mixed tamarinds in the seasoning. Nevertheless, the overall manufacture of marinade is almost the same. And at the end of making the rujak seasoning without giving water as usual, because water is already there from the cucumbers that are scraped. Listeners, to be dredged from the middle of cucumbers will not be discarded but will be incorporated into the seasoning and then pulverized or stirred so that the scent of cucumber rujak seasoning is so thick of this. After that, a new rujak seasoning is put back into a cucumber that has been hollowed out. Then, rujak chorek is ready to be served. Spicy rujak chorek is delicious when served with ice. The price of Rejectorek is very cheap, only 2,000 rupees. It is quite affordable, isn't it? Listener, more recently, the sellers of this Rejectorek have had already decreased in number. But in some places in Pamekasan, you can still find them. If you are on vacation to Madura, especially Pamekasan and Sumenep, you can find and try the unique sensation of the spicy Rejectorek. Well, listener, we'll see you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Listener, Bukit Tinggi City is the second largest city in West Sumatra Province. With a beautiful natural and geographical condition, no wonder if this city keeps the tourism field as great potential. The miscellany for today is about three tourist attractions in Bukit Tinggi that are recommended to UNESCO as a World Heritage. Listener, Paris van Sumatra was a nickname for Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra in the colonial era. The topography for this city is hilly and has valley with a beautiful natural panorama, and it is also surrounded by three mountains, namely Merapi, Singgalang, and Sago, as seem to be strong thing for this city. That's why Bukit Tinggi is also called as Three Arga City. Besides having a beautiful panorama, Bukit Tinggi also has many historical heritage that cannot be forgotten easily. Take for examples, Gadang Clock, Japanese Hole for the Cock. Another thing that also proves that Bukit Tinggi is the historical old town is this city ever become as an Indonesia capital city in the emergency government of the Republic of Indonesia or PDRI era on December 1947 until July 1950. To support the increasing number of foreign tourists who come to West Sumatra, especially in Bukit Tinggi, the West Sumatra Provincial Government has formally submitted the three tourist attractions to UNESCO. According to Muhammad Ramlan Nurmatias, as a Bukit Tinggi mayor, West Sumatra, the proposal of the three tourist attractions in this district to become World Heritage under the auspices of United Nations or UN in education field or UNESCO has been told by Jaringan Kota Pusaka Indonesia or JKPI or Indonesian Heritage City Network in the Assembly of Organization of World Heritage City or OWHC in Bali on August 7 until 10, 2016. Those tourist attractions are Gadang Clock, Japanese Hole, and Fort the Cock. Listener, the reason why those three tourist attractions are selected is that each of them has a great and close historical value with Republic of Indonesia. It is appropriate with the meeting result of OWHC in Bali recently. This meeting agreed that the OWHC members should keep the cultural heritage that appear in their own country so that they can be useful for people. Hopefully, those three tourist attractions that have been recommended by the city government of Bukit Tinggi, namely Gadang Clock, Japanese Hole, and Fort the Cock, can be a part of the World Heritage. Listener, That was miscellany for today about three Bukit Tinggi's tourist attraction towards the world's heritage. We'll see you again with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in Music Corner with me, Andika, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 95 to 5 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. In today's edition, I will introduce you to an Indonesian singer who has strong, dynamic, and high pitch, namely Tata Janeta. Actually, her face and name have been familiar in Indonesian music industry because she began her career in trio Dewi Dewi, which was established by well-known musician of Indonesia in 2007. Then, this trio has changed to be Mahadewi because Ina, one of its personnel, resigned. After 5 years joining in Dewi Dewi and Mahadewi, Tata Janeta decides to be solo career and has released a single entitled Penipu Hati in 2013. Listener, to initiate our music corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Penipu Hati.
Cepat ku
Listener, you have just listened to the first song entitled Penipu Hati. This song tells about disappointment of a woman who is betrayed by her lover. This song has pop ballad genre, which saw another set of Tata Janeta. When joining in Dewi Dewi and Mahadevi, most of their songs has upbeat genre. Indonesian famous musician Baby Romeo makes sure that Tata, she is suitable to sing songs in ballad genre. For that, Baby Romeo invites Tata to collaborate in his song entitled Bawalah Cintaku. Let's check this song out.
Sumpah, tak ada lagi kesempatanku untuk bisa bersamamu. Kini ku tahu bagaimana caraku untuk dapat terus denganmu. Bawalah pergi
Listener, in 2016, Tata Janeta is back to greet Indonesian music lovers with a sad song entitled Korbanmu. This song tells about pain of a woman who becomes the victim of a lover and a friend. Earlier, this song was given at the title Sadisnya. Tata is involved in making its lyric. Meanwhile, the arrangement is made by Frankie GP. After releasing four single pop ballads, Tata, who has complete name Sinta Dewi, hopes to be able to make album and explores her ability in music. Well, listeners, to conclude our segment, Music Corner for today, we'll play you two beautiful songs from Tata Janeta entitled Korbanmu and Jangan Sedih. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
tetap kamu ingin putus untuk lebih memilihnya daripada kamu memilihku selama hidupku. Jangan sedih bila aku nanti dapatkan kekasih yang lain yang lebih sempurna dibanding kamu yang pasti ku lupa. Sungguh kamu pasti menyesali keputusanmu saat ini untuk meninggalkanku, melepaskanku yang
of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Tak ada di batas bening jiwa. kita semestinya satu hati peraih cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.